You say, how are we going to transition into this? Well, we're just going to make it work. I need to give you this word tonight. I need to speak this teaching over you. But I do ask for you to continue to pray. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you again. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Help me to articulate these words tonight. And Lord, help us see that we do have a tremendous assignment. And the book of Acts is the beginning of that assignment. And if we'll live this truth, Father God, I believe that we can see a decrease of these things take place in our nation, at least where we live. And we can have those Goshen moments in those cities of refuge all over this nation. And I believe that we can have discernment. And I believe that your name could be glorified while we occupy till you come. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Thank you for your prayers. I really feel the Spirit of the Lord in the house tonight. Let's transition into the book of Acts, Kingdom Perspectives. Again, good to see everybody in the house tonight. I love and I appreciate you. Love everybody on live stream, whoever you are, wherever you are. Amen. I was praying for our extended family tonight before I came out here, and I was like, God, there's so many names. I don't know them all. May never see them this side of heaven, but I'm so grateful to the body of Christ and everybody that's a part of Ignited Church. By the way, had an interview with Byron, Cyril, and we had a great time. If you haven't had an opportunity to get on social media or our website, please check it out. It had a very powerful word. The topic was about Israel and where we're headed to in the last days, and so many other great topics were brought up. So I've got a lot of great reports, and we just thank Brother Byron for doing that and being with us. So have a lot more interviews to come and great things for that media outreach. All right, last time we got together on the book of Acts, we talked about the future of the church is found in the past. The future of the church is found in the past. Again, if we don't go back to our roots, we won't understand the fruit. We won't understand what God's called us to do. You know, we need to go back. I believe in the law of first mentions. The law of first mentions are very powerful. When you are learning things of the Bible and you want to know more about God, go to the beginning. Amen. And so the law of first mentions is very powerful. I wouldn't give two rusty nickels or wooden nickels to a preacher who doesn't preach the whole counsel of God, that doesn't teach you from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I wouldn't hang out with people like that, because you'll be lopsided and you'll be half-baked. We got enough Christians that are half-baked out there, amen? So we must discover our roots before we experience the glorious fruit of our future. So again, I got to go back to my roots. I got to understand where I came from. I got to understand where the Father came from and what he was trying to teach and show and learn from mistakes. See, God put a lot of things in the Word, not only for what we should do, but what we shouldn't do. Let me try that again. There's a lot of things in there that he left as examples so that we would learn from those mistakes. You know, if I was God and I'm not, there, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible I wouldn't have put in there. Come on, some of y'all wrote a book, you'd put all the good stuff in there. Oh, you ain't helping me. You know it's true. But God put some stuff in there so that we could learn and we could understand how to avoid those mistakes. But anyways, we must discover our roots before we experience the glorious fruit of our future. The modern church has lost more than just its way. It has lost its life. It has lost its life rooted in biblical truth. See, if I just listen to Dr. Feelgood or Mr. Philosophy Preacher Man, and I listen to all this fluff and all of this humanistic gospel, then I'm going to find myself living on philosophy rather than theology, and I'm not going to be rooted in biblical truth. Therefore, when the real storms come in my life, I'll be blown away. That's why, you know, people can't handle crisis and tragedy when they're not rooted in the truth. Amen. Christians are like Weeble Wobbles. We get knocked down, but we know how to get back up. Amen. The truth keeps you there. And the book of Acts is our map into the future. So that was last time we got together. The book of Acts is our map into the future. We talked about verse 150 representing Pentecost and how that when Moses went to the mountain to receive the law, he received it when? On the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came and they received the power of the Holy Spirit, it was the demonstration of that day of receiving the law. Now it is a new law, the law of what? The law of the Holy Ghost, the law of the Spirit, the law of truth, and the law of Jesus Christ. So what an amazing moment. You need to go back and understand the feasts. You need to understand the times of God, the seasons of God, because when you do that, then you begin to see that God is a God who's on time every time. It may not work out like you think it should, but he is on time, and he'll get it to you in due season, no matter what it may be, if it's according to his will. So we saw that about Moses going up, receiving the law on the day of Pentecost. What happened when Moses went up there? It was crazy. There was thunders and lightnings and there was earthquakes. It was so bad that people said, hey, Moses, whoa, you go up there and talk to the Lord. I ain't got nothing to say to him. How many of y'all remember that? It was such a fearful moment, an awesome moment, that the people said, I ain't going up there. I mean, you know, I don't need to hear. You talk to him. How many of y'all been in the presence of the Lord where it's been so strong, it frightens you in a sense. It's heavy. It's an amazing awe moment. Well, this was an incredible day on the day of Pentecost. Remember, it was suddenly, means that it came without warning. See, they didn't know exactly what was going to take place. Jesus said, hey, I want you to go up and I want you to hang out and wait for me, wait for the promise in Jerusalem. And then, you know, you're going to receive that promise. Then all of a sudden, phew, here it came. Just a mighty, mighty move of God. Okay, so let's go into tonight's teaching, the book of Acts. Here's some foundational statements I want to give to you. The purpose of Pentecost is to reveal the Father, expressed through his Son, manifested by his Holy Spirit. The purpose of Pentecost is to reveal the Father, expressed through his Son, and manifested by his Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. It's the revelation of who God is. God revealed himself on the day of Pentecost. It just was not some small experience, as we've already gone over and what I'll teach more tonight. It was a major earth-shaking, history-making event where God revealed himself and he manifested himself through his Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we'll teach in a few minutes. Watch this. I want you to write this down. Demonstration, manifestation, and revelation are the three pillars of the New Testament church. When talking about the day of Pentecost, talking about what took place that moment in that very historical time, look at these three main things. Demonstration, manifestation, and revelation. The three pillars of the New Testament. Something tremendous was established that was really reserved for what the Lord was doing when he walked on the earth in his New Testament ministry. The disciples, they had opportunity to see demons cast out, and they saw some healings and some miracles on their own faith operating through the ministry of Jesus Christ. But now there was a change. There was an exchange that was about to take place and took place at that moment on the day of Pentecost, that now they were going to do the greater works. That's you and I, amen? The greater works. Everything that Jesus began to teach and to do, you and I have the opportunity to finish writing that book, writing the history of the church. So demonstration, manifestation, and revelation are the three pillars of the New Testament. What I'm talking about is on the day of Pentecost. This became evident and real. The Holy Spirit bridges the gap between cultures, nations, and tongues. Watch this. The Holy Spirit bridges the gap between cultures, nations, and tongues. He speaks the language of the world. He speaks the language or languages of the world. You see, when the day of Pentecost came, everything changed. Everything changed not only for the gospel and for the messengers, but it changed for the world. Because the Holy Spirit now could do what Jesus was only limited to do. Jesus could only go so far. He could only walk so long. He could only work so late. He could only go to so many places at so many times. Are you here? He could only do a limited work because he was walking in his flesh, even though he was all God and he was all man. But something incredible took place on the day of Pentecost. There was a tremendous exchange, a tremendous release of power, energy, and glory into the earth. And I'm gonna prove it all to you in a minute. But watch this. The Holy Spirit bridges the gap between cultures and nations and tongues. He speaks the language or languages of the world. Again, Jesus was in his limited ability being on earth geographically, time frame wise. Even though he was all God, he could do supernatural things. And we saw him do supernatural things. We watched him translate a boat and an entire people on the boat, and they went to the other side. Do y'all remember that? He was in the boat, and he had to get to the other side, and immediately they were on the other side. It was translated. The Bible says that there were so many things that he did that there's not enough books in the world to write it all. There's not enough room to contain the books and the incredibleness. But what information we have, Jesus was limited to his scope of ministry, but he knew that, and the Father had a plan, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So he bridges those gaps. He bridges the cultures. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. That's my beginning opening statements to you. Acts chapter 2. Go to verse 4. We've already made a little progress. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're just going to take our sweet Georgia time. Is that okay? And we're going to do it right. Acts chapter 2. Verse 4, and they were half filled. Watch out now. Boy, you guys are Bereans. They were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Everybody say other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I'm going to show you, I want you to write this in your notes, the setup. Because there's about to be a setup. God is about to do something absolutely amazing on the earth that has never been done before. And he's setting up the people. He's setting up the world, if you will, for what is taking place. So they were all filled. I love the mathematics of God. Because all is all. Because God wants everybody filled. God wants everybody touched. God wants everybody healed. God wants everybody blessed. God wants everybody to feel the manifestation of his glory. So I would just have all circled or highlighted in your Bible. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues. The word other means another. It also means different. So they were speaking in another or different tongues, which is, translates to languages. Okay, so pretty elementary. They're in one accord. All of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit comes. They're all filled, and they begin to speak with other tongues. Then it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right now, right next to utterance, put inspiration. That the Holy Spirit inspired them. The Holy Spirit moved upon them. The Holy Spirit allowed that gifting not only to rest upon them, but begin to flow out of them, and they began to speak in other tongues. Very powerful, isn't it? Very powerful. Now, watch it one more time. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling, this is verse 5, dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So here it is again. They're in the upper room. They're waiting for the promise of the Father. All of a sudden, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, a tremendous thunderclap, if you will, the very presence and essence of God, like cloven tongues of fire rest upon them. Remember last time we got together, you're just looking at each other saying, man, you got one too. Look, you got one too. I got one. And the glory was upon them, and they began to speak in another language. In other words, they began to speak in languages that were foreign to them. It wasn't common to their natural dialect. It wasn't something that was natural to them. What is so amazing about this is because when Jesus was brought into the earth, when he was born, God used the angels and the stars and the shepherds to make the announcement of where he was. But on the day of Pentecost, God used the tongues, the languages of every nation that was there to declare and decree that the kingdom of God was birthed and that the kingdom age was here. And he made an announcement through these people that were full of the Holy Ghost. That's a very powerful truth, because what it shows us first and foremost is that God is a God of all nations. He's a God of all colors. He's a God of all creed. He's a God of all cultures. He's a God of all people. He's a God of all social statuses. And he was making it very plain with the demonstration. It didn't have to happen this way. God could have did it differently. He could have done it just through the apostles, and they could have just held on and just went out and did great and mighty things. But God made a scene. God made a show. God made a huge display of what he was doing in the earth. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the promise of the New Testament. Do you see that with me? It was amazing. It was an amazing thing that took place. Because what it did, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in other tongues, this tremendous manifestation of the Holy Ghost, what it did was it made an announcement that not only the kingdom age had come, but Jesus was on his throne. Y'all didn't catch none of that. See, because we've been taught, oh, it's just tongues, and it was a day of Pentecost, and that's how we got goosebumps, and that's why the preacher screams. No, it was absolutely a tremendous moment of time. It was absolutely a tremendous display of God. The kingdom age was being birthed. The kingdom of God had come. What Jesus was prophesying and promising, and as he was laying hands and telling them the kingdom of heaven is coming, and all the things that he was doing through manifestation, demonstration, and revelation through his life came now into existence among the people, and now it was upon the disciples and upon the folk. The 120, man, they were up there and they received this endowment. They received this tremendous dunamis, this dynamite power. And God did it in such a way. He didn't have to use tongues. He didn't have to use a foreign language. But he was announcing to the world the kingdom age. Is anybody here today? A tremendous, tremendous, tremendous move. Now, watch again, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Remember, there were many that were sent out. They were sent away because of Roman rule and sent away for different reasons. But now they had came back for the feast. They came back for Pentecost. They came back to celebrate. They came back with family. It was a tremendous festival, if you will, tremendous party time in Jerusalem. And God knew it. Watch this now. God knew that they would be there. God knew that they were going to be drawn from all around the world. And God says, that's when I'm going to drop it right there. I'm going to drop it on that day when everybody is in that place, when people from all around, from all four corners of the known world are going to be in Jerusalem. That's the day I'm going to pour out my spirit. And not only that, I'm going to show the world that this is for everybody. This ain't just for white folk and green folk and black folk and purple folk and folk don't know you know what color they are. This was for the whole world, that they can be full of God's Spirit and they can have that promise and the proof that Jesus had already went to the throne, tag teamed the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. Woo, glory to God, man. What a day. What a day. And you know what that means to me? That means that when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, man, and I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm a goer. I'm a doer. I want to see all nations. I want to see all folk change. I want to see all people touch. I want to love on everybody. I want to hug everybody. I want to embrace everybody. I want to go to the nations of the world. Why? Because the one who created the nation lives inside of me, and he baptized me with his power, and he baptized me with his love. Come on, the most loving folk ought to be spirit filled folk. The most given folk ought to be those that have been touched by the power of the resurrected Lord and Savior. Boy, I feel like Sunday already. We got to move on, man. We got to move on past our doctrinal differences and all the stuff that we have, all the craziness that goes on from bishops and prelates and so on and so forth. We need to get back to Bible basics and get back to the truth. Amen. So watch this. They were there. Now, verse 6. Watch this. Now, when this was noised abroad, what is he talking about? Listen, when you look at the Bible, one of the bad habits we have in reading the Bible is we read by verse robotically.
And verse 1, and verse 2, and then verse 3, and then verse 4, and then verse 5.
Instead of looking at it as a story for which it is, this happened in moments of time. This is not hours and days necessarily. This is moments of time. So in other words, they go to the upper room. The power of the Holy Ghost comes. It is a thunderous clap of power and wind and might and tongues and craziness, if you will, and all kinds of amazing moment took place, an amazing event took place. The people in Jerusalem heard it. Watch this now. This isn't some few folk in a prayer room and somebody gets a tongue. No, this was a mighty demonstration of the Holy Spirit. This was like Moses on Mount Sinai. This was like him receiving, Mount Sinai, receiving the revelation, the Ten Commandments, and God thundering and earthquaking, shaking everything. That's what happened. Y'all here today? That's what took place. It was an incredible movement. The whole town heard it. I'm looking for a day the whole town hears this church. I'm looking for a day they call the fire department and say, there's fire on top of your roof, and it ain't nothing but the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting for them to, you know, to find out, the earthquake survey folks, and find out what happened on 580 East Main Street in Livonia, Georgia. Come rushing in. Y'all okay? Yeah, we're fine. Boof, and they fall out. Amen. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that happening in this house and houses all around who will love God. I'm looking for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Will the real God demonstrate himself with power? Yes, he will. He always does, always has, and always will. We just don't move God enough for him to move. Let me get going here for y'all get mad at me. Now, this was what noised about. The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard him speak his own language. Again, this was a crack of boom, a bam, a clap, a loud thunder. I mean, all of a sudden, Jerusalem is turned upside down and everybody ran to see what was taking place. And when they got there, they heard all these tongues. They heard all these languages, and they heard their own language. There's 120 in the upper room. I don't know how many languages were spoken, but right there you see how God said, you know what, I want to demonstrate to the whole world that everybody can be involved in this great outpouring, that this kingdom is for everybody. No person, no culture, no creed, no color has this kingdom in a corner. This is the kingdom of God, and you can't market the kingdom. You can't market the kingdom, no matter who you are, where you're from. You can't market the kingdom. If you can't catch the wind, you can't catch God. And you surely can't box him in. So they all came together, and they hear this sound. They hear this thunder. They hear this commotion. And when they show up, all of a sudden they see and they hear these folks speaking in another language. and a language they didn't know, and a language that the person from the foreign country did know that. Now, this is amazing. Let me teach you a little something on this. They spoke multiple languages. We're talking about those in the upper room. And those that came from all around the earth were there for the time of Pentecost. Now, according to rabbi teaching, they were allowed to declare and speak the 18 benedictions. There were 18 benedictions. You can go back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Talks about hearing the word of the Lord, hearing the Lord your God. And those 18 benedictions that they would pray over their food and pray over their meals, they were allowed to declare them in different languages. Instead of just having it in Hebrew, they were allowed to speak it in other languages. And so when the people were there, they heard these other languages, it attracted them. Again, all this wildness and all this craziness, and then all of a sudden they start hearing them in these other languages. So it was something for them to recognize and to receive and to realize, oh my gosh, something's happening pretty wild here. Okay? So watch again in verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now watch this. This was a trip. Because you have all these foreigners. They see this and they hear the manifestation. They look at Peter. He's a good old fishing boy. And he's speaking somebody's language with his dialect. Come on, y'all. That'd be like me trying to speak the Queen's language, the Queen's English. I wouldn't do too good. Huh? It'd be like some of you all trying to speak French, and y'all from Tekoa. Those listening tonight, Tekoa, that's just another planet. But you know I love Tekoa. Y'all getting the ollies. Good stuff. Cheap. Tekoa's awesome. But you know what I'm talking about. It would be like some of y'all trying to speak another language and you have your dialect. And they were like, wait a minute. Okay, we heard the thunder. We heard the commotion. We all come running. Some bomb went off when there wasn't no bombs. But something happened. We all come running in here. Y'all got fire on top of your foreheads. You're running around here like you're crazy, and you're speaking my word. You're speaking my language, but you're a hillbilly. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know, it'd be like me speaking Farsi and you know, having you all somewhere in the middle of my interpretation. And this is what was going on. It was an amazing thing. And they were just totally blown away. So how do I know that? Because you got to go back to Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 70. You got to go back where Peter was caught. Remember? They said, your voice, your accent, your dialect giveth you away. Come on now. When I go to Cuba, you know, you can always tell those who live on the eastern side of Cuba compared to those who live on the western side of Cuba because of the way they talk. Same thing in America. You go find people up in Vermont or Connecticut or whatever, and you come down here in Dixie. Whee! I mean, there's a big difference, y'all. Ewins, y'all. Come on, grits, grit. Tea, sweet tea. Big difference, amen? And so here they are. They still have their accent. They still have their dialect. And the people are totally freaking out. Verse 7, and they were all amazed. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If all of a sudden I stood up one Sunday and started speaking Swahili, I mean, you guys would be like, whoa, what happened, bro? I'd be like, I don't know. Because I guarantee I wouldn't do it like they would. I'd have to throw something in there that sounded like me. Amen? So they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I mean, aren't they from Canaan? aren't they down there from Buford or Hall County or something? You know, they were amazed at this. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? Doesn't he take, watch this, doesn't he take the foolish thing to confound the wise? Doesn't he do that? 1 Corinthians says that he does, don't it? 1 Corinthians talks about that. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says that he uses those things. He uses the weakness. He uses those that, you know, don't look like they can fight their way out of a paper bag. He said, that's the one I want. Use him. You sure you want to anoint David as king? All he knows is sheep. Go get him. That's the man right there. Amen. Isn't it good to know that God will use you just the way you are? Hallelujah. So he says, look, this is incredible. This is an amazing thing. Now, let me show you what happened here, because you haven't probably been taught this by too many preachers, because we overlook this and we want to get to the power. We want to get to the tongues. We want to get to the excitement and the hype. But that doesn't educate you. That doesn't give you root, deep understanding and foundational truth. Now, what God was doing here and why he did the day of Pentecost this way served many purposes, which we already talked about with Moses. But it also served another great purpose and reason why he did it this way. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 7, God came and he confused the language of Babel. He confused the language of Nimrod. He stopped the very beast system, if you will, from building that tower unto God to be gods themselves. So God confounded that language and said, that's not how you're going to do it. You're not going to do it through that type of language and that type of false unity. And God displayed on the day of Pentecost that he reversed the curse of Babel. And he said, I'm going to build my kingdom this way. And this is how we're going to get it done. And this is how you're going to make your access in and out of heaven. And this is how you're going to do the kingdom through my son and through his blood and through the power of his Holy Spirit. This is how the church is going to be built. Nimrod, you were wrong. Jesus is right. And this is the way that my church will be triumphant in the days to come. Isn't that powerful? He reversed that curse and he anointed these here, those on the day of Pentecost, to speak in the other languages of the world. And he proved the power of his lordship, his kingship, and his power as a creator and the one that can only give true unity. This was an amazing statement from God. This was an amazing statement from heaven to say that I will unify man my way. You may try your way to do church, but this is the way we're going to do it. You can try to live your life the way you want to do it, but if you'll follow my pattern, you'll be successful all the time. You'll be blessed all the time. Isn't that right? So this is very powerful. Very powerful truth. Now, what happened? What else happened on that day? Go to Mark. Keep your finger here, but go to Mark chapter 16 real quick. We could quote it, but let's go look at it real quick together. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we'll go to verse 17. Let me know when you get there. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with what? New tongues. So watch it again. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, this is Jesus giving his words, his commandment, his commission. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. Go back to the book of Acts chapter 2. So it was a promise fulfilled that there would be new tongues. Now, we'll get into tongues as a prayer language and tongues as a gift and tongues interpretations later on in teaching. But we're going through the historical fact. We're going through the very moment, the very expression of what God was trying to do and what he did do, and how Jesus, his words were fulfilled that they would speak in new tongues. Just a side note for a second. Can you operate in that same gifting today? Yes. It has been done multiple, probably millions upon millions of times throughout history and throughout the body of Christ, where people have had tongues of a foreign language and spoke them out supernaturally when they didn't know the language. Some of you have probably done it in your prayer time and don't even know it. Charlene gave us testimony one time when she was praying for somebody and spoke Chinese, perfect Chinese. Is that right? And the person, there was someone there to interpret it and said what you said was Chinese, Mandarin, I believe. Isn't that amazing? And so that happens. That gifting hasn't gone away. Amen. Because you know what? God is going to get his messages to the earth and to every person he needs to in any way possible. Amen. Wouldn't you like to do that one day? Wouldn't that be pretty cool to just be in a situation where you don't know the language and there's a foreigner and that gift come upon you and you manifest that gift and that person gets saved or healed or blessed by it? Amen. So we'll get into the giftings later, but right now I just want you to see this truth and what God did. So he reversed the curse of Babel and he said, hey, this is the way we're going to do it. This is the way we're going to make it happen. All right. I wrote this down. I want you to write this down. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, there will be a draw and there'll be a crowd. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, there'll be a draw and there will be a crowd. When you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, it draws folks. It draws people, not to us necessarily. They're drawn to the gift, and the gift causes them to be blessed. Amen. That's why people get mistaken about their musical abilities, their preaching abilities, and all this stuff. It's not about you. It's the gift within you and the giver of gifts, amen, that they're attracted to, all right? So verse 8, we went over that. Let's go there. And now here we every man to our own tongue, whereas we were born. And then he gives all these different descriptions and all that they spoke of. Now watch this. On the last part of verse 11, these are different people came from Crete. They came from Egypt. They came from Rome. So God proves and shows the nations that came there. And we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now as I close, here's what he's talking about. The wonderful works of God. They were literally preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ through the interpretation and through the tongue that they were speaking, through the language. They were just talking in the various languages and they were preaching the gospel. Man, that was powerful. It was the wisdom of God. It was being manifested on the earth. And God was telling all the nations of the earth, I've given you my promise that I would cause my spirit to be poured out on all flesh. I promised you through Joel that you'd see this take place. And I'm doing it. I'm manifesting it. I'm bringing it to you right now. And my gospel shall be preached to the far-flung quarters of the earth. And he did it. He did it in the beginning right there through all of these apostles and these fellow co-laborers, those that were there in the upper room. Now watch this. This is important, and I'll let you go. God, again, chose the day of Pentecost to do this. He knew they would be there. He knew they would be from the far-flung corners of the known earth. But he did something else besides allowing them to hear that gospel. They now had that gospel in their hearts, and they now received that gospel. Yes, some mocked, as you'll see later on, but they heard the word of the Lord, and they took that word with them to the nations from which they came. God automatically sent out the gospel to all of those nations with one massive explosion of his glory. Whew, hallelujah. Guess what? He's supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be doing that now with this power. We're supposed to be reverberating what's going on in this house to the nations of the earth. And that's why we're doing what we are doing right now. The wisdom of God was in full display on the day of Pentecost. Amen. That is the mandate and the mission for today, is to take this gospel to the nations of the earth. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're spirit filled, you really care about your neighborhood. You really care about the nations. You really care about the downtrodden and those that need help and those that need health. And I pray that as we learn some more in the book of Acts, that we will be a people of fire and take this truth to the nations of the earth. Heavenly Father, I delivered your word tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you for reversing the curse of Babel. Father, thank you for making that way through Jesus Christ, giving us access now into your throne and experiencing the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. God, as I close tonight's teaching, I do remember again the families in Florida. And I pray, Father God, that that same wonderful Holy Spirit that spoke the languages of the nations would speak the language of healing, comfort, care, and concern to a family, to a lost loved one, to somebody there, Father, because we don't have the words to articulate the deepness of their pain. God, we love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday. You're blessed, Elder. You're healed. I love you.